paying Titus Regional Medical Center for outstanding charges related to ambulance transport fees, some of which go back as far as October 2005. On January 17th of this year, shortly after I came into office, this total was $39,982. As of today, the total will probably be slightly higher due to additional transport fees incurred since January 17th. There may also be some reductions to this total once I ask the hospital for a final review to be sure that none of the charges were in excess of Medicare rates, and there may be a couple of other attributes that we're looking for that could possibly reduce that total somewhat. Ambulance charges are incurred when the county jail deems it appropriate to call for an ambulance in a given emergency situation. Based on my review of the dates and amounts of these individual charges, the volume of ambulance charges has been significantly reduced in the last year due to closer monitoring by our jail staff. Approximately a year and a half ago, a meeting was held with hospital administration and a couple of our commissioners. At that time, it was agreed that if Titus Regional would reduce ambulance charges to Medicare rates, essentially the lowest price point, that the county would pay the ambulance transport charges. The hospital understood this to mean outstanding charges as well as future charges. At least one of our commissioners was of the opinion that this would apply to future charges and did not feel that the outstanding charges were going to be paid. I've attended several meetings, and I'm done with meeting and discussing and phone calls in this subject that I'm going to have, both as a hospital board member and as a county judge. I believe it's time that we vote on this matter. I'm confident that our current jail administration will only use the hospital ambulance service when it's absolutely necessary. I'm also confident that our hospital will pursue all means of collection when the inmate is not indigent before billing the county. Titus Regional has not, nor will they intentionally bill the county when an inmate is indigent. This is something that we will together look at before we pay these costs to be sure that we indeed are paying only the items that we are both in agreement that should be paid. The hospital will not bill the county for medical care provided by the hospital, although from my discussion with Jeff Drummond, chief counsel for Titus Regional, they could. Let me state that again. The hospital has not, nor do they intend to charge the county for medical care that is provided by our hospital for our inmates. I think that's an important point, and I think that that's something that, I commend them for that, and I appreciate them doing that. After hearing all sides, I believe it's very reasonable for the hospital to be paid by the county for ambulance charges at Medicare rates. I believe that the jail staff will ensure this is kept to a minimum if they know that they're going to be paying for it. If the hospital is required to provide free ambulance service, the county might not be as careful with such services. The bottom line is, this is a taxpayer expense regardless of who pays for it. In the future, this arrangement should produce the least overall cost to taxpayers. As for outstanding ambulance transport fees, I also believe that the hospital should be paid. I'm therefore going to make a motion that the county pay all outstanding and future non-indigent ambulance transport charges at Medicare rates once they have exhausted all collection efforts from the inmate. And let me explain. The law says that the county has the right to collect from that inmate. That is not their right to have free ambulance service just because they are an inmate. They will sign the appropriate paperwork as they have been doing all along, so that they understand that. Now, the hospital has assured me that they will exhaust their collection efforts before they attempt to bill us. And in the case of an indigent inmate, they will not bill us for those costs. And again, we are going to do our part to oversee that they, don't miss any of those and that we are appropriately treated based on the status of that particular inmate. I believe that we do owe this. Do we have anything from our council? I think there are some differences of opinion on some other items, but as far as saying no, absolutely, we don't have to pay for this, no, that's not in question. A couple of things that have been in question is whether or not the county county, or excuse me, whether or not the hospital was legally obligated to provide these services, whether they are paid for or not, and there does seem to be a difference of opinion. The hospital at no time has ever threatened to withdraw ambulance services if, you know, if we decided not to pay for them, but, you know, I don't even want to go there. I think that, again, with the understanding by our jail staff that this is to be used in emergency situations, I don't believe this is casually being used for arbitrary transportation service when it's just not convenient for the jail staff to make those runs. I believe it will only be used in an emergency. And again, if the inmate is indigent, the hospital will not charge us. And also, each inmate is given a clear understanding when they are booked in that they are responsible for their own medical charges.
Judge Lee?
Yes.
I think Titus Regional Medical Center is a very important partner to the county in providing services to people in this community, and I would second your motion.
Before we do that, I would like you to have a chance to ask Captain Fosdick any questions, and Captain, you may have some comments. You've participated with me in some of this discussion here of late, and I'd like them to hear from you as well.
Is there any questions first that maybe I can answer for you?
I think Commissioner Hockaday's question, what is your opinion based on what you have gleaned as far as whether or not the jail has any liability whatsoever or what type of liability that they have for ambulance charges?
By the Texas Code of Criminal Procedure, the inmate's responsible for their bills. Now, it doesn't say who has to collect those. It doesn't say the hospital collects them. It doesn't say the county. It says either one can. So if the hospital tries and they're unsuccessful and they indicated they will not file a lien on property that belongs to a person in the county. Now, the county can do that if we're forced to pay these bills and be fair to the hospital, then we need to go ahead and pursue. If they're not billing us for non-indigent personnel, then these people have property or something that we can go after. And if we do that, then that may even help cut down on the ambulance runs. Because we do have inmates who try and get out of the jail to go on a joyride or to go up there so they have an opportunity to get away. And they're not actually sick, and we've run into several of those. But the jail staff is not qualified to make those determinations. So when it appears there is a problem, then we have to go. If we can transport, we will, but if it's serious enough, we're gonna call EMS. I would like to screen those to make sure that something hasn't fallen through the cracks. I do know that there was one individual who was picked up in the Sallyport who we refused, that the city had in custody that they called, and so that's the city's responsibility, not ours. Okay, but he was picked up in the Sallyport, so we were billed for it. I know another one who was picked up who deceased after they reached the hospital, who the commissioners approved at Pauper's funeral, so he's indigent. So those bills should probably be rescreened prior to paying those. The same law applies. It's all the same. I would just have to go through all those, and I can make that determination with our records that we currently have, whether we actually had that person in custody, whether we called the ambulance, whether they were our responsibility during that time. And if they're not indigent, then that means they have something that the county can go after.
Recommend procedures that the sheriff's department goes through.
Yes, sir.
What you're trying to...
Upon booking, every inmate is told what the law states and told that they will be responsible for their medical bills, and they're made to sign this once they understand it. And they're made to understand it prior to anything. So, and then it just quotes the law, and then a copy of the law is attached.
Okay, that basically is that, you know, it has a policy of what we try to do. What you have here is an entity charged with entity, and I think we need to look at it and say, hey, there's some cases there we do need to pay. There's other cases there that, you know, actually going to different schools, different type schools, and different type things that we're involved in. This has been problems not just for us, but for other counties and for other entity situations where, you know, we're set here and trying to figure out what's the best policy here, because I don't want to put this court or future courts, if they have to do this or not do this. After talking to Tim last week, and I was trying to get that attorney to be here that represents the Texas Association of Counties, felt like it was not the responsibility of the county to pay attention to health care. And they say they're not going to charge for this. Anytime there's a situation down there, I think we probably did in the past, we say we look at it case by case, and if it was a fight broke out, we felt like we were responsible to pay for it. If somebody, something happens down there, and they're in a situation that they can brought on themselves, they are responsible for that bill, is my understanding.
Yes, sir.
That's kind of where we've let it be for the last, I guess, 10 years or something like that. You know, it's tough. I support our hospital out here, but at the same time, we have responsibility to the taxpayers of Tibbs County. We're trying to keep everything as low as we can. They're paying hospital tax, paying county tax, and now we're going to be put on this to pay for these people. They should pay for it themselves.
But currently, right now, I don't believe there is an agreement between the hospital and the county. Is that correct?
Well, we've always been able to work together on one thing, you know. It's a hard situation.
We probably need some type of agreement for this. Paul, do you have any comments on that?
Well, the only thing I would say is, from what I'm understanding from your report, which, you know, I've been here 18 years too, so we've had this off and on, and my position was always with Tim's position. I felt the same way he did, and that wasn't really the county's responsibility, that was the individual's responsibility. And as such, what I'm understanding from you is, the law says that either party, either the hospital or the county, can go try to collect that money.
Yes, sir.
The hospital's already set up with personnel and everything else to collect bills from, we don't have any personnel like that, so if you're gonna ask us to collect the money, then we're gonna have to either point some people to do that or hire some more people when they're already set up to go collect unpaid bills and do it every day. So to me, I don't think it's our responsibility anyway, but if it is one of the two entities' responsibility, there's one already set up to do that collecting, and that cost is already there. So it'd make a lot more sense, to my point of view, to have them do the collecting, if it's a situation where either party can do the collecting.
I think that's what they're stating, is that in the future, when they receive the inmate, they will go after the inmate. They will pursue it until, you know, those are exhausted, then the county can turn around and put a lien on the property.
Well,
if they have any property.
But they still want us to pay the bill. At the point we put the lien on the property, they want us to pay the bill. I just don't think it's our responsibility to pay the bill. I know they're both taxing entities, but they are in different businesses. They're in the business of providing medical coverage and collecting on the medical coverage. We're not in that business. We don't have anybody here set up to do that type of business. So
I tried to think about this as if I were a taxpayer. How would I want this to be handled? In my opinion, what I keep coming back to is, if we say, okay, hospital, it doesn't matter the situation.
some counties, the county actually provides special services, so, you know.
And I guess at one time in the past, that was the case here. I know what we had prior to a hospital district around here. That may be, and I think that that's what our jail staff is going to be doing whenever that's a reasonable way to handle it. I don't think that they are. Captain Fosdick too. I mean, he's very sensitive to this issue, trust me.
Yeah, but their hands are somewhat tied. If that guy says, "I need an ambulance," they're not doctors. They're going to get him an ambulance. You know, I don't know how the ambulance is taken care of anywhere else. If they have separate contracts, I can't believe that they're allowed to not required to provide service to every taxpayer in the county.
There's areas of the community that EMTs do not go to.
That even the one that's the hospital district, whether it's Peter Smith Hospital in Fort Worth, anywhere?
There are some parts of Dallas that EMTs don't go to.
At all.
So there is discretion.
Well.
Well, I know after talking with Tim, he talked with the council from the Texas Association of Counties, which represents the counties, that it was the responsibility of the hospital. And, you know, I know the hospital, their council said, no, we're responsible to pay it for. All I'm saying is everything looked at, Warmshed, the sheriff, county attorney. I talked to John Mark about this several months ago, but he was inclined to agree with what Tim had said, that he was going to look at it further. I just wish we could get the representative of the Texas Association of County, what he had to say. I was hoping to get you here today. But he does represent the Association of Counties. I know when we've been to school, we have issues in healthcare, just brought up several times. When you have an accident entity that people pay taxes into, you cannot deny service. So, we love calling the situation hospital in the county. That's what I would know. I just feel like you take on certain responsibilities, you really don't lose money, you're in it, and that happens all the time. I know there has been ways that we could help solve some problems. Now, we used to book in at the city, then we book in at the county. Well, that's wasting time and wasting the people. Booking people in and out of the city, right there, prisoners straight from jail, that saves money for everybody, the city and the county. I have to do it twice, so I don't know. I just don't feel like that's right now, I guess people don't want to do it.
Mike, our question now, what do you want to fight this bill?
Well, and we're not only discussing past bills, we're discussing a precedent for the future as well.
Didn't we not sign a policy with the hospital about a month and a half ago about the ambulance rates? Did I dream that?
What were we discussing there?
It was a policy that we met about in here with representatives from the hospital.
I think the only agreement we've signed is for them to send their person out here to the jail to their doctor or their PA or whatever, and we pay them monthly for that.
I made a motion that the county pay all outstanding and future non-indigent ambulance transport charges at Medicare rates once the hospital has exhausted collection efforts from the inmate. I will make a request that Titus Regional make a final review of outstanding charges as of right now and confirm that no individual charges exceed Medicare rates. And I will also ask that, with the cooperation of Captain Fosdick, that we review any outstanding charges and make sure that they are indeed charges that we feel meet these criteria.
Call the question.
All right, I have a motion and a second. All those in favor of the motion of paying all outstanding and future non-indigent ambulance transport charges at Medicare rates after the hospital has attempted to collect from the inmate, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. We have three opposed, and so it is, therefore, I will explain to the county that we, explain to the hospital that this is our decision, and I guess they can decide what they're going to do from there. All right, item number six, considering possibly approved purchase of a new tractor and brush hog for Precinct 1. This item was tabled from March 28th.
After reviewing the bids that were submitted for the tractor and brush hog, I've chosen to go with Conroy New Holland tractor. And I'm speaking with them right now about the delivery of such tractor and brush hog.
And this was one of those that was on specifically on that bid, that specific piece of
equipment? There was one minor variation of a function that was not in my original bid that subsequently that I asked to be put on the bid. But that is the, it's the same thing that I've been.
What's the final price, Don?
Pardon me?
What's the final price that we're going to be paying?
I don't
have it with me. Were they the low bid?
They were a little bit of tractor and brush hog.
Yeah. Okay. So not only did they meet the low bid, but they satisfied your requirements in all areas. All right. That's your motion. Got a second by Commissioner Fields. All those in favor of the purchase of a New Holland tractor and brush hog for Precinct 1 from Conroy Tractor, please say aye.
Aye.
And it is unanimous. All right, item number seven, consider and possibly approve payment of a pauper's funeral for Valton Ross. I don't know what details I can give you, but beyond that, we've done this in the past, and I assume we will pay it at the standard rates that we have been paying for those.
Motion.
Motion by Commissioner Hinton that we pay Mr. Ross's funeral bill. Second by Commissioner Boggs, all those in favor of payment of Alton Ross Pauper's funeral, please say aye.
Aye.
And that is unanimous. All right, item number eight, consider and possibly approve the purchase of two Fujitsu S1500 scanners for the county attorney's office to be paid out of county court IT account. Paul, are you here to address that by chance? I'm just curious.
If you'd like me to.
Sure. I know a little bit about this, but I'd like to hear from you first.
As part of the court cost that each defendant pays after their case is adjudicated in the county court is a $4 information technology fee. That money is to be spent to enhance technology for the court. What the county court office would use the scanners for is basically to scan the cases when they come in. We have to forward copies to probation. We'd be able to do that electronically and save the paper. Also, we have to prepare discovery for the defense attorneys, and we could do that electronically if we had the scanners, the ability to do the scanning. There's a lot of different uses for it. I like it because the defendants are the ones that get to pay for it, not the taxpayers. And it's just an account. We've got close to $1,500 in that account from the cases that we've, since that law passed, which was the last legislature session. that gave us the $4. It's the same as the IT fund that the JPs have or municipal courts have. They passed that law last time, giving it to the county courts.
Yeah, it's actually $1,376.
Yep,
$1,376. How much of the scheme?
They're about $800.
The request here,
total.
The request is for $928, including shipping for two of those. My observation of the system that they've currently got is quite inefficient and fairly expensive, and I was shocked to find out they didn't have a scanner down there. I think this will not only speed things up for the county attorney's office, I think it will be a very efficient way to handle this by handling the transfer of all this information digitally rather than making copies and mailing and delivery. It's the same. Motion by Commissioner Hockaday that we allow the purchase of two Fujitsu scanners. A second by Commissioner Hinton. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And it's unanimous. Item number 9, consider and possibly approve entering into a consulting agreement with Preston Risk Consulting to assist the county with our property and casualty insurance coverage. I understand that you have worked with Preston Risk in the past, and they've done us a good job. This is simply asking for permission to enter into that agreement once again for them to take a look at and get the best price for our property and casualty insurance. Any question or discussion on that?
Move to enter into an agreement.
Okay, motion by Commissioner Boggs, second by Commissioner Fields. All those in favor of entering into a consulting agreement with Preston Risk Consulting, please say aye.
Aye.
And it's unanimous. Item number 10, consider and possibly approve Paul Lindsay to research security upgrades for the courtroom. This is my request on here. I've been feeling this way for a good while. The recent shooting in Bowie County just made me even more thoughtful of this. I specifically would like Paul, you know, with his knowledge and background and experience, and anyone else that you'd like to bring into the mix from our sheriff's department to, or outside. Right now, we have basically really almost no security other than the fact that Paul is here and he's got his weapon with him. We are not doing any kind of screening of anybody that comes into our courtroom. And that makes me a little bit nervous, not only in county court, but when we have these child protective services hearings, we have these hearings going on by the attorney general. Folks in those situations, especially CPS court, where this place is packed, people are at their absolute worst emotionally. And the opportunity for somebody to slip a weapon in here is very real. And we need to at least look at some kind of basic security upgrades, whether it be a metal detector, whether it be whatever. I don't know what that would be ultimately, and I don't know where the checkpoint would be. I don't know enough about this, but I'd like us to at least be aware of this need and allow Paul to take a look at this and make a recommendation for us.
We've got funds set up for that. I know the Oregon Justice Center down there, we had that in the bank, $1 million to try and make it as secure as we could for the people that work in there. But I think in this day and time, we've got the form we're going to have to start considering that. I know we've got a camera system set up.
going to have him just check this courtroom or all the courtrooms?
I think you need to check them all.
District Judge, JP Court.
JP Court, too.
I know since we've done the Justice Center, and even before then, we started the process of trying to secure the courthouse, like I was saying. The process was done, so I think there's some other things that help secure the courthouse and annex.
Well, if Paul felt like that task was beyond his available time or expertise, would we possibly consider, you know, bringing in an outside consultant if that's Paul's recommendation?
That'd be probably.
Okay. Well, let's start with this. The motion is, did you make the motion? Commissioner Fields makes a motion that we initially turn this task over to Paul Lindsay to take a look at some options for us and make a recommendation. And Paul, if part of your recommendation is that we bring somebody in who specializes in this, then that can be, you know, we'll hear back from you about that, you know, when you make that decision. And Mr. Hockaday, you make the second by Commissioner Hockaday. All right. All those in favor of having Paul Lindsay look at some security upgrades for all of our courts, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that is unanimous. Item number 11, consider and possibly approve permission for the county clerk to hire two part-time employees to scan deed records from 1895 through 2005, and this money will come from Records Management Fund. Items right now while you're talking, although I won't call them both together, you're welcome to expand your discussion.
Our deed records are scanned into the accounts from 2006 forward, which makes it very easy. If you're into an account and you need to look at the deed, it's right there. Otherwise, all the older deeds, which we need to get them scanned anyway, but they are going to be scanned into the account. So when you go into the account and you need to look at the deed, it's right there.
Will the original be retained?
Yes. As long as I'm there, they will be retained.
Yep. Do you have any idea how much time it's going to take to do
that? I'm hoping within a year. I mean, I'm not sure. You know, we get into it, how long it's going to take, but hopefully less than a year. They're in 950.
Yeah, it's less than 1,000 hours. I think it's 950 hours, something like that. So she'll have to make sure she keeps them under those hours. But we'll also tell
her. So the equivalent of one person
for
1 year.
Carl will take care of me.
We'll be sure she doesn't run anybody over that. She may have to hire four different people and rotate them in and out to keep them in the hours. But.
Motion.
I get a motion.
Commissioner Fields makes a motion that we allow the hiring of two part-time employees to scan deed records from 1895 through 2005, second by Commissioner Hinton. This money will come from Records Management. All those in favor of approving this, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And it's unanimous. And then right along the same line, item number 12 is consider and possibly approve the purchase of two computers for the county clerk's office to keep up with necessary updates from net data. $2,208 will come from the Record Management Fund. Or do I have an old figure here? That was the total figure? Okay. All
right. What is the updates?
Net data is, they have, I don't know if you've used our software much, but it was a lot of prior. You hit prior. You kept having to go back and hit prior on a lot of accounts. Well, now, and I've been hollering tabs, you know, because I'd rather have the tabs where you just hit the tab instead of hit prior. Well, they're going to have all these updates done in all the counties that they, I forget, I think they have 140 counties, I'm not sure. But anyway, they're going to update all the counties. But when I went to the users conference last couple weeks, well, they pulled me aside and said that three counties they're going to use kind of like to work the bugs out. They're going to go ahead and install, which they're installing in our county on the April 28th. And anyway, we'll be able to use the new software ahead of everybody else. It's going to be the end of the summer before the rest of the counties get it. But I think that's a great opportunity for us because I'm more eager. I mean, I want to get the new. And the computer that April has, which is the one that Carolyn used to have, it didn't get replaced when all the other computers in there did. And I was told that they can't do these updates because she don't have part of what she needs on her computer to get it updated. And her computer does need to be updated for all the new updates.
So this is a CABRO recommendation
yes.
as well as yours?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have any role that the IT, our newly formed IT committee needs to take a look at something like this?
I don't know. For two computers dealing with that data, I would not think it would be necessary for them to, you know, to process this. They're pretty covered up right now with some other issues that they're working on. I feel comfortable that this is a routine purchase. I think probably Ms. Ridgeway needs a computer that's compliant as soon as possible.
And I trust what CABRO advises us, and if this is their recommendation, that's further credence. All right, what's your pleasure here?
So moved.
Commissioner Boggs makes the motion. Commissioner Fields seconds. And that motion is to purchase two computers at a total cost of $2,208 to come out of the records management fund. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye, and it is unanimous. Thank you, Diane. Item number 13, consider and possibly approve a plat for Kaysen Ranchettes, Phase 1, Lots 1, 2, and 7, for Mr. Greg Hayes of Cross Creek Cattle within the J. Peacock Survey on County Road 4950.
Efforts.
understand that, but I would think he would want to know if his project was in future jeopardy of some floodplain restrictions, that we go back to him and say, well, sorry, we know what we did back on April 25th, but now we're telling you something different.
Yeah, we might want to make that motion with that stipulation in there, that floodplain.
Let me make this offer to the court. When all those maps came in here from the Carolyn's office, I took the time to cut out each map. I mean, it was just a little segment of our county. And I cut them apart, put them back together like a jigsaw puzzle on the wall in my barn. And it includes the entire county, section in the middle, it's the city of Mount Pleasant, and anybody wants to come look at it and see if that, you know, property they're concerned about is in that deal. But there is no major map. I had to build it myself, so it's up there, you know, and maybe at some point we need to get a major map reproduced from my jigsaw puzzle.
Well, do you want to leave the burden on Mr. Hayes to determine whether or not any of this property is in the floodplain?
The county, I think, will be his responsibility. The criteria that's already adopted, the floodplain policies.
We don't have an ordinance in effect, so I guess that you know, right now somebody can build whatever they want, wherever they want, pending final drafting of that document and signing of that document. I know that we've approved it, you know, initially. We understand what the objective is and what our wishes are.
So about the foreign money to buy that piece of land in the White House, their property, and if they go through the bank, they're going to have to show it's not in the flood.
But the burden is on him to find that out.
All right. Yeah, why don't you go add some wording in there that we, with this approval, goes the assumption that Mr. Hayes will ensure that his property is not in the floodplain.
You add that to my motion. I don't have to repeat.
Let me see if I can start over and kind of wing this. The motion is that we, we approve the plat for Kaysen Ranchettes Phase 1, Lots 1, 2, and 7, with the understanding that this property is not in the floodplain as per the most recent floodplain maps that were provided to the county. Sound okay? Okay. The motion was by Commissioner Hockaday, who made the second. I'm sorry. Okay, second by Commissioner Hinton. All those in favor of the approval here of Kaysen Ranchettes plat on County Road 4950 with the stipulation that it not be in the floodplain, please say aye.
Aye.
And that's unanimous.
Right. Is there not an E in Ranchettes between the last T and the S?
I don't know. Should we?
Depends on if you're South Texas or East Texas.
Or Fringe.
Or Fringe.
We all need to sign these?
I think just you sign it.
Some new case of Ranchettes. Let me set that aside.
Ranchettes.
Ranchettes.
Item number 14, consider and possibly approve travel and seminars for Titus County employees and elected officials. Okay. All right. First item, this comes from Judge McNutt. She requests $50 for workshop registration for court personnel, which would be for Judge McNutt herself, made payable to Texas State University San Marcos. This is a class in May on the 16th and 17th. She will also ask for hotels and 27th, plus hotel at the Hilton Dallas Lincoln Center, 92.22 for two nights, and 3 days worth of meals, total of $120, and then mileage. Next request comes from our district clerk, Deborah Abston. She is requesting she be able to attend the CDCAT Conference 2011. This is for her registration in the amount of $200. That will be in Louisville on June 12th through 16th. And I don't know if she hasn't mentioned travel there. I'm assuming she will be staying over there, but she has not mentioned travel or meals. 5-day event. So let's make the assumption that she will be staying over there. We'll need meal, mileage, and hotel provisions as well. Next is from our sheriff's office. This is a request that Jessica Ingram, the records clerk, be allowed to attend the Basics of Record Management course sponsored by the Texas State Library and Archives Commission in Chandler, Texas, Tuesday, April 26th through Wednesday, April 7th. We've got a $90 registration. It's not asked for lodging or meals here, so I don't know where Chandler is. Okay, well, good. All right, so I guess she'll just be traveling down there. All right, we also have another request from our sheriff's office regarding a training request for John Livingston. This was a request for our dispatcher, Ginger Brown, to be allowed to go to dispatcher to 8 HR missing children and Amber Alert for communications. This is all on April the 26th. The total cost, approximately $119.35 plus fuel. That's all.
Did we ever change your policy for respect of registration for recompensated for our expenses on the trip?
Recompensated.
In other words, we'll bring back our invoices and compensated for what we spent on the trip.
No.
How does that differ from current
policy?
Will there be the check up front?
Yeah, we're giving some of them a check up front because some of them don't have credit cards. But we're monitoring to make sure that they bring us back the hotel receipt and prove that they went to the meeting and they only get paid for meals for however many days of hotel we paid for, and they have to show that they attended the conference. So we're watching as close as we can. But we have a lot of employees that don't have credit cards, and the court considered it an unfair burden to ask them to pay it out of their own pocket up front, so we're not doing that.
We
do the room that way. I mean,
we give them a check for it.
Right. We get William to get the room, or we get the room out of our office. But we don't make them pay for the meal.
They would get the room regardless.
Yeah. But no, we still give them their checks ahead of time. In some cases, they do use their own money and come back and ask for reimbursement, which is an easier process for our office, but we still allow them to do it either way.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Fields to approve travel and seminars. So, second by Commissioner Hinton. All those in favor of approval of all these items, please say aye.
Aye.
Item number 15, approve oral and written reports of county officials. Mm-hmm. 17, approve budget amendments. Do we have any?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. Item number 18, sign pay orders and approve payments.
Make a motion to pay our bills.
Motion by Commissioner Henry. Yes. Second by Commissioner Fields. All those in favor, we sign our pay orders and approve payments, say aye.
Aye.
And that is unanimous. All right, closing comments. Let me just briefly say, tomorrow at 3 p.m., we'll begin our redistricting discussions with Allison Bass, 3 o'clock tomorrow. We posted the appropriate notice for that meeting, so don't forget about that. Immediately after our meeting here, hopefully all of you will be able to attend a lunch and tour out at Northeast Texas Community College.
I hope at some time when you come back and revisit this hospital, I have my whole life, and I know this is the time of it, but whomever I ask to do something for me, and they perform that task in good faith, as best as they can, whether tax entity or not, if I receive a bill, I may negotiate that bill, and I may write down that bill. I think it's to ask them to perform service and say, no, we're not paying, is something I'm not very proud of. That's all.
All right, thank you. All right, if there's nothing else, I'll ask for a motion that we adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor, we adjourn, say aye.
Aye.
All right, let's try to get everything signed and get out toward the college as soon as we can. No, the administration offices.